I'm so glad to see your faces. This is a wonderful day for us. And I think, you know, some people say, well, I'm a pastor, I'm a prophet. I think you could call me the keeper of the story, because I have a story for everything. And honestly, everything in this building has a story, and it will probably take, you know, the rest of my life to tell you the story of this place. And Brian, you took a lot of my message. So I'm going to like expand on that story a little bit. David and I lived and worked in the former Soviet Union for many years. We planted congregations throughout that area in different countries. And we lived in Budapest, Hungary, and later lived in Kiev, Ukraine. And every summer in June, David would speak at a conference in Holland. And the name of the conference center was De Bron, and this means the source. And David and I loved De Bron. We were close friends with the people that own it, and you will meet Yvonne one day soon. She will come here and join us. But De Bron had thatched roofs and a whole campus with lots of buildings, and it slept, I don't know, they had accommodations for several hundred people. And there was a little canal, I guess you would say, running through De Bron. So it really inspired us. It was a campus setting. And there are a lot of things that have been in our hearts for many years. We love to see leaders raised up. And we always dreamed of a place where we could train and raise up leaders. And so when we lived in Budapest, and prior to that, when we lived in Rochester, New York, and Roanoke, Virginia, our home was the place that we did this. We would disciple people around our dining room table, and we had the same furniture for many years that went from Roanoke to Rochester to Budapest to Kiev back to Jacksonville. And so that's how we discipled people. There was never a place for me to be, an office or anything, so we just had people in our homes. And so when we lived in Budapest, the name of our congregation and our ministry in Hungary is Shalom International. And when we moved to Kiev, we had a building with several stories, and Paula Jones lived on one floor and served us and all the people that would come to us. And we had the Shalom Center on another floor, and then we lived on yet another floor. And so leaders would come to us and at the Shalom Center. And so it's always been in our heart to have a place for the people, that God would dwell and the people would be, and we could gather the people. So we moved to Jacksonville by surprise from Kiev in 2005. And when we moved to Budapest, we took everything, and we honestly felt like the Lord wanted us to take everything so we wouldn't have one foot in one land and another foot in another. So when we were called to come back to Jacksonville, it was a surprise to us. And as we came here, it was really in our heart to still have this place where we could raise up leaders. And so in 2007, just in a day or two, I felt that a group of us should go to some of the places overseas that had inspired David and I. De Bron in Holland, Gardens in Holland, help me out.
Kokenhof.
Kokenhof Gardens near Amsterdam. And we went to Budapest, where David and I lived, and there are many wonderful public parks in these cities, and that was the goal. David and I wanted to take this team to see these public places, outdoor places, gathering places, to begin to inspire us about what he wanted to do here, what the Lord wanted to build in Jacksonville. So As Brian mentioned, I'm going to expound on that story just a little bit. So 13 of us left with about a month's notice to go on this trip. We met with, we have a ministry to Holocaust survivors in Budapest, so we met with them, we met with our interpreters, many people from the congregation in Budapest. We took our grandson, Jacob, who was 9 years old at the time, and now he's almost 6 feet tall. And you'll meet him in a little while, or maybe tomorrow. But this team, we went from place to place to begin to get a vision for how the Lord wanted to settle us here in Jacksonville. This was 2007. So really from that time, we knew we had to find a place, and we looked at churches, we looked at, you name it, empty lots, we looked at warehouses, on and on. We looked at a lot of things, and as we searched for these things, we just felt we hadn't found it yet, and it didn't line up with the vision of the trees and the paths and the campus and all the things. But we really were desperate. Our lease was running out. We were really at the moment where we had to decide. And Dan Santinga, who I will introduce you to in a few minutes, so I'm going to tell you a story about these men, and they're here with us, and I didn't want them to have to bear with me and stand here all this time. But Dan is a representative of Liberty Property Trust, and because he had found a place for the Redeemer, our Redeemer church, who had rented from us for a while, and he found a place that they built out and transformed, and it began to inspire us of what we could do sort of from scratch. And so Dan showed us a lot of places, and the day that Brian talked about, we were at the best of the not-so-good places. And we were at the day just about. We had, this was the 26th of January, 2011, and by the end of January, we had to make a decision. We had to get something started because how long it would take to make the transition. And we had worked with Dan for many, many, many weeks, and he had been so patient with us. David and I still point at the spot where we first met you, Dan, and we saw a little fountain, and we thought, oh, that must be it, because we had ideas about fountains and all kinds of things, water, and there was a little pond with a little fountain, so we thought, well, maybe this is it. And the so this day on January 26th, 2011, we were looking at that last place. And all of us on the design and the search team were pretty despondent. Brian isn't the only one that felt bad that day. And so we were in this warehouse space, and I was complaining about hearing some machinery outside and thought that wasn't so great. And everybody else walked out of the room, and I was left in this warehouse sitting on a desk with Dan Santinga and Jacob Samick, who I'll tell you more about in a minute. And the funniest thing happened a little bit earlier in that day. Out of the blue, Dan had said, my name is Dutch. And I said, oh my goodness, we love the Dutch. We go to Holland. We went to, De Bron, and there's trees and paths, and I started describing De Bron to him, and he got this look on his face, and he looked at Jacob, and he said, you know, there is one more place, and I think you had seen it that morning. You had previewed it, or you thought it was time to do something with it or something, and Dan told me some of the reasons why it wouldn't be so great, that what you see here, these four total buildings that we have, there were tenants in here. And half of this was empty. The other half of this room was a lot of offices and tenants and everything. Well, Dan made this, he really made this deal happen. And he worked hard on our behalf. And from the minute they said there might be something else, that was maybe at 5 o'clock. We were over here on site by 6 o'clock. I keep all this in my journal, and I've looked it up recently. So by 6 o'clock, we were on the ground here. And as soon as Brian and Eric Painter stepped onto the property, they said, "Oh, it reminds us of Debron." So this is only part of the saga. Dan and Jacob, could you come up and let me introduce you? And please, I would like just to honor these men. Introduce them to you. Dan Santinga, who represents Liberty Property Trust, who was tenacious to find us a home. And he really, in many, many ways, made this happen and thought of what we needed before we knew it. And Dan, when we thought we've got to move out of our last place, we've got 3 months, we don't know where to go, he said, "Well, why don't you meet in the three-story building?" We didn't even know there was room there. So Dan worked all of that out. And this is Jacob Samet from Tenant Construction. And Jacob was the supervisor?
Project manager,
for our whole project. And I hate to think how many emails he got during this time, but...
He's got a journal, too.
Oh, my goodness. But I want you to know, Dan got us a great deal that will go really as long as we want to be here. We see this as a long-term home for Beth Israel, and he had the foresight when we got our permits to get permission for more space than we're occupying in case we need to add space in another building. And Jacob, I just can't tell you, he just had crews in here every day. There were some men that did soup to nuts, and I just can't tell you how grateful I am to both of you. And Eric Casper was the architect that worked with us, and one other day we're going to have a daytime celebration probably and have Eric Casper, and hopefully you'll come back. But we're calling this our soft opening, just for your information. We didn't advertise. We felt like this was needed to be sort of a step up from a dress rehearsal because we haven't occupied this space until today. And so these men, as you see them tonight, please greet them and thank them. And their wives are here, and Jacob's friend, Danya. So I just want you to make them welcome. And I want you to know in Hebrew we have a word that means family, not only your physical family, but the people that God puts around you, and it's mishpacha. And on this whole project, you have been that to us, and we are grateful. We thank you so much.
You'll notice that there's one very important thing missing in this room. It's a clock. And that's because sanctuaries are meant to inspire your sense of eternity. So So we don't really know what time it is, and you don't either. I'm really glad to be here. This is home for us. It's the labor of love that has produced this. It's great vision and dedication. And we see something about how faith works. It doesn't require in the body of Messiah that one person alone have faith and one person alone have vision. It requires that each of us does our part. And that fateful day when Sandy was talking to Dan about what she knew, that there must be somewhere else, that was the day that I understood she was going to do that because she'd been in prayer. And I'm much more realistic than she is on such things. And so that morning she said, I know there's something else. And I said, honey, you have to understand, we've seen everything. And it's time to make a decision, and we have to narrow it down, and then we have to make some hard choices. And I'm so glad that my position didn't prevail. Sandy, thank you for having faith, really, in the Lord, who spoke to you and not me, who encouraged you and showed you something he didn't show me, and who enabled you to hold steady when others couldn't or wanted to give up, and even when you wanted to give up, you held steady anyway, and you didn't give up. And for Sandy, this has been like a pregnancy again, bringing forth a child, and every mother in the room can understand something about what it means to carry to term a child. And the joy of conception is one thing, but the work of bringing forth is aptly named labor because of what it is. And the pain that goes with it and the cries that go with it are familiar to women, and men often want to keep our distance at such times. But God often uses women of faith to bring forth that which the community needs. So, Sandy, thank you. Thank you for being a woman of faith. So many people have contributed instrumentally and significantly. And over the weeks and the months, we'll have, I think, 6 months of celebration as we're opening. Over these weeks and months, we'll have many opportunities to honor all the people who have been so dear and so important and accomplished so much and dedicated themselves and gone so far beyond the call of duty. And they have acted with inspiration and with faithfulness and with dedication. And we want to honor and recognize each one of those people over these weeks and months. And you might say, well, aren't we supposed to be worshiping God in the sanctuary? But you'll notice something in the scriptures which God gives us. He gives thanks by honoring the people by name who did significant things on his behalf. Whether it was Bezalel, who was in charge of the design of the sanctuary and the temple, bringing forth what Moses had seen in the spirit that God showed him, training other artists to do their parts, or whether it was this one or that one who was named, who kept the accounts, or who organized the inventory in the storerooms, they were named in the scriptures, and you have to say why, and it's because God was grateful. And he wanted to honor those who had labored to show something about what worship is so that we don't get confused that worship involves every aspect of our being, our person, our life. It's not just a few words we say or a few things we do, and not just what we do here, but it's how we live our lives for God that demonstrates whether we are a people of worship or not. And we have the honor, really, we have the privilege of having been involved in a complex task, a project that was bigger than all of us and impossible for any one of us, but together we've been able to do this, and there's more to be done. So this is not the end. This is just a beginning and a moving forward. And we're also rejoicing in God's perfect timing because we can laugh now, but we had a different schedule. And yet it is on this weekend, not on our schedule, on God's schedule, that Jewish congregations in every city where there are Jews on the face of the earth will read these words from the scriptures, "Make for me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." And what's amazing is that was the word that gave us vision to proceed long before this project ever began or was conceived. And that is the way that the Word of God works. It's active, it's alive, it's full of dynamic and power and life. And it awakens you and it equips you to do what God wants to do. So when he puts his word in your heart and he puts it in your mind, keep it. Hold on to it, because it will open up your very future if you are a good steward of his word. That's why Yeshua said, "If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask." It's almost as if he's saying, don't ask if you're not doing that. Just don't ask. But you can ask. And you can ask what you desire, because your desires get changed by that abiding relationship and by the transforming power of God's word. And you can ask for what you desire because you start desiring what is good. Last year, in January, my cardiologist said to me, if it tastes good, just don't eat it. But with God, it's a little bit different, because he can give you a taste for what is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He can give you a taste for what is good, and it becomes an acquired taste. You start saying, you know, I like what he likes. And you start wanting what he wants, and the things that are unimportant to him become unimportant to you. And so when he says, make for me a sanctuary, it's not because God needs buildings. It's because he needs people. And he does not want to dwell alone in this world. He wants to dwell with us. That is his word. Why make a sanctuary? So I can dwell with you. And he goes so far as to say, you can become a sanctuary. You can become a little holy place if you will welcome God and his Holy Spirit in. He will take up residence and he will live with you. So it's an amazing thing, isn't it? That on this day, on this weekend, here we are. And it's taught us something, which is to rest in God. Of course, you know, we press on. We push hard. We try to meet our own deadlines. We try to accomplish our tasks, you know, that are set before us. And yet, we have to rest in God anyway. Isn't it true? Now, for some reason, you're sitting next to people that you like enough to sit next to. And so, if you don't mind smiling at them and just saying, you can rest in God. You can rest in God. And you can trust him. You can trust him with the timing of the things of your life. God says he wants the sanctuary only to be built with resources that are given by people who want to give those resources. And I've come to understand that God has a very clear reason for doing this. He only wants to live with those who want to live with him. Number one, that's why he makes it a condition that you have to ask him, in a sense, to come and live in your heart. And why it is on his terms that we understand what repentance is. It's not our condition, it's his condition, where he says, turn away from everything that takes you away from me and come to me. Return to me. And he makes it a condition that we actually be wholehearted in coming to him. But nevertheless, I wondered, well, why does he say, only receive this offering from those whose hearts are moved and from those whose spirits are moved? Because about the tithes, he doesn't say that. I don't know if you're aware of that. He says, everyone pay your tithes. But regarding the teruma, which is unfortunately translated in some old English as the heave offering, and we just, I don't know how we could heave anything with grace. But the Hebrew is a much more subtle idea. It's the idea that you would take the very best that you have and you would take from the top. We would compare it, for instance, to the cream, you know, giving the cream of the crop, the cream, the very best that you have. And the Lord says to Moses, I want you to make a sanctuary for me so I can dwell with you. But only receive from people who want to give for this. Only receive from people whose hearts move them to make a contribution. And in Exodus 25, verse 1, it says, from everyone whose heart moves him. Another translation says, from everyone that gives it willingly with his heart. You know, we live in a day of infomercials where people have learned how to raise money by tugging at the heartstrings and making people cry. That's the best way to raise money on television, if you didn't know. And the reason is not because people feel genuine compassion, is they feel guilty. And they hate feeling guilty, so they'll give some money to relieve their guilt. And unfortunately, that is the way it works. But God is not interested in those kinds of things. He's interested in wholeheartedness because he's wholehearted towards us. And he gives himself willingly to us. He gave his only son for us. The apostles consider this kind of giving to be the highest way of giving. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every person should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. There's so many ways that the book of Exodus translates this motivation that God was looking for. He says he wants those who are willing, whose hearts are moved, whose hearts are stirred, whose spirits are moved. And it tells us in Exodus 35:21 that it was only those people who came forward and gave. And in 2 Chronicles 3:12, we see that they continued in that pattern of faithful giving. Well, today we're taking up an offering, the Teruma offering, and there's a card in the back of your seats. It's not one of those cards you're used to seeing. If you look in the back of your seats, there's a white card that says at the top, Beth Israel Messianic Synagogue, and it says Teruma offering. And it quotes from this passage in Exodus 25, verses 2 and 8. It says, tell the children of Israel to bring me a special offering. From every person who gives it willingly and whose heart is stirred, you shall receive my offering. And then in verse 8, let them make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now, you'll also need envelopes if you want to give. So the ushers are just going to walk down the aisles with envelopes and pass some into any aisles that need them. Why don't you guys come here to the front, and then you can just, anyone who wants to give, you can just indicate to one of the ushers, and they'll give you an envelope. God wants to use your willingness as a foundation, because He is a cheerful giver, and He wants you to give. If you're moved in your heart. So don't give out of compulsion. Don't give out of need. Don't give expecting, like some people give, like, well, I gave, and then I expect to get a harvest back of some sort. Don't give like you're buying a lottery ticket that you hope to win. But if you want to give, you give because you want to give. It's that simple. Because you want to give, not because of any need, not because of any compulsion. Now, I know there are some people who, because you, some people have asked me, so I just want to share with you. Some people have said, well, I do want to give, but I want to be able to give like some per week or some per month. And, you know, is it the only time we have to give everything? And it's no, you can give according to the desires of your heart. That's the beauty of this offering. And so if you say, you know what, I want to give a certain amount a week or a month, you can do that. You don't have to tell us, you can just do it. And when you do give, you need to tell us so that we can keep track of it for you. On the back of the Teruma offering sheet, I want you to look at this, because this is really set to communicate what we're saying. My heart is moved to give my Teruma offering for Beth Israel's new sanctuary and synagogue and our fellowship cafe. That is the fourth building that needs to be built out. If you want to add special designations, you can check any of these boxes. And if you want to add more details, you can write it below. You can say, because we've given you some papers that tell you some of the things that we're taking up extra money for. If in the sanctuary you say, you know what, I want to give for this ark. I love God's word. You can on the bottom add more details. You check sanctuary and say for the ark, for the Ner Tamid. You could be envisioning a baby grand piano or a concert grand piano that is going to be like right over there somewhere. You might say, why does this have to be so wide? Well, when you have a grand piano, you need some space. And so you can say sanctuary, grand piano, as God moves you. And each one of you may be moved in different ways. You can give, and we will honor everyone who gives. Children, if you give from your allowance or you do something, it'll be just fine. And everyone who gives, no matter what you give, your name will be included in our book of remembrance. We're going to produce a book for our congregation honoring everyone who's giving in this. And we also have a tree of life that will go up on the outside wall of the sanctuary. We'll tell you more about that. But if you are giving more than $250, your contribution will be recognized with an engraved leaf on that tree. And we'll tell you more details about that. Trees of life are an important part of Jewish tradition. We say the Torah is a tree of life. Everyone who lays hold of it has laid hold of something important. But it's a Jewish tradition to honor the memory of our parents or other loved ones or important milestones like births and weddings and anniversaries and graduations. And you make a contribution, a teruma contribution, and then there is an engraving on a leaf on the tree of life. And it becomes a permanent memorial, permanent record, a permanent way of sharing joy and tears as well for the whole congregation as we remember the losses, the gains, the progress, the important events in our lives. So, ushers, again, I want you to come forward. I want to pray. I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. Lord, Lord, we thank you that on this day, on this weekend, a set time, your word says to us, take up for me a special offering and make for me a sanctuary. And to fulfill that, we're giving tonight, this weekend, and for some in the days to come. And we're saying, Lord, we want to honor you. We want to thank you. We know you've provided for us, and we want to provide a space, a place where we gather together to lift up the name of Yeshua, to proclaim the faithfulness of the God of Israel, to tell the good news of what you have done for us. Lord, we're giving out of gratitude. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Ushers, you can receive this terumah offering. Please stand as we close with Aaron's blessing. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.